back in Canada. Amen. And I know you're glad to be here, but I'm glad to be here. Amen. It's been at least four years, I think, since the last time that I was able to be here. It's my first time for my wife. And it's just a joy to be able to see what God's doing. And even in spite of all that's going on around us, you know what? God is still faithful. He never fails. He hasn't failed us. And He knows exactly what He's doing. And we're so excited to be able to be a part of your church and see what God's doing through your ministry here. Thank you, Brother McLean and Brother Tricky, for having us come in. And I appreciate the opportunity to be in the pulpit this morning at the New Testament Baptist Church. We've been praying for you. We're encouraged by what God's doing. And just look forward to great days ahead as we serve the Lord together. We'll spend some time tonight, maybe, if you have some questions about Baptist missions to forgotten peoples. Be glad to take some time to do that tonight in the evening service. So if you have some questions, come tonight, write them down, and I'll do my best to answer them. If I can't answer them, Brother Tricky knows all the answers, and we'll let him take care of it. Amen. Amen. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 8. One of my favorite subjects, of course, is that of missions. I'm always excited to be involved in missions. I'm a missionary kid. I grew up in the country of Liberia, West Africa, for the first 9 years of my life. At age of 12, the Lord called my parents to go to the country of Spain. They didn't ask my opinion or my approval, and so I was kind of drafted to go. So that was a big change, but I went as a 12-year-old, and I'm so glad that the Lord called my parents to go to Spain. You say, well, Lyons, why in the world would you say that? Well, I say that because Spain is where I found Christ as my Savior as a 12-year-old boy. You know, you realize that missionary kids, we're in church before we're born. We go to church all the time. And, I mean, I knew all the head knowledge, and I had all of my ducks in a row, everything I was supposed to know, but I wasn't knowing it in my heart. And it was age of 12 that I realized that I needed a Savior. And God came into my heart, changed my life. And the age of 14, called me to preach. And then age of 16 in a Christian camp, called me to be a missionary. And so Spain has had a real impact in my life. I thank the Lord that God used my parents. They answered the call to go to the mission field. And that's where God began to work in my life. And as we're now working with missionaries, it's just a joy just to be able to see others, or others' lives who are impacted because somebody surrendered to go to the mission field. And as you're dealing this month with the missions this week, and I'm just need to keep that fresh in your heart. So we get so busy and doing our things in life. Life gets complicated. Life gets busy. But we never need to forget the fact that somebody around us needs to hear something from us, a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's people around us, all around us, that need to hear the gospel. So this morning, as we take into consideration missions this morning for a few moments, I'd like to speak on the subject of the foundation of missions. The foundations of missions. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, we'll read the first five verses this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8, beginning to read in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God." Let's pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again for this morning. Lord, we've set aside this time to reflect, to look into our hearts and see where we need to be as far as missions is concerned. So this morning, Lord, as we present the message of the Word of God, I pray you'd clear my heart and my mind and my speech to be able to relay the message you placed in my heart. But again, I would ask that the hearts would be receptive. You would work in our midst this morning. And above all, there's one in our midst this morning or listening online that doesn't know you as Savior. Lord, we pray that today would be the day of salvation. Today would be the day that you would change their lives. Lord, we'd ask you to do this morning. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. If I had a definition, I would say it this way. Again, this is not original with me, but I think it kind of helps us understand what we're trying to accomplish through missions to the New Testament Baptist Church. I would say it this way: missions is the work of God through the people of God to get the word of God and the gospel of God to people in need of God. And so summing that up is God using us right where we are, God using us with our abilities, our place in life, and expanding that to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and doing that through our local church. And I believe this morning that if someone is willing, someone has an inkling that God would want to use them, a simple surrender to the Lord can change your life forever. Just a moment of saying, God, here I am, take my life and use it for your honor and glory. You'll never begin to imagine what God can do with a surrendered vessel. If you would have asked me when years ago, even 10 years ago, if I would be doing what I'm doing today, I would say, you're absolutely nuts. This is not something that I have planned, what I'm doing today. This is not something I even considered. Far as when God called us to the mission field, I was going to die in Spain. We were gonna live our life there out in Spain, where everything was going good. The Lord is blessing our church ministry. I mean, we left, humanly speaking, at the peak of the ministry, and it was really tough. We had no problem going to the mission field, but coming back to Jacksonville, that was a challenge. Amen. If anyone moved to Jacksonville, it's a challenge. If any of you know about geography, 95 goes to Jacksonville for a reason. You don't stop, you just go through. And so God began to work in our heart about going back to Jacksonville to work in the home office. And man, that was a struggle. But you know what? Even in all that, God knows and knew what he was doing. And I can say today, we are happy in the Lord. We are encouraged because we know we are exactly where we need to be. But it all came as a 16-year-old boy when I dedicated my life and said, God, here's my life. Take it and use it. I'll do whatever you want me to do. And so when you give your life to the Lord, life gets exciting. Amen. That's a joy to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So this morning we're thinking about missions. And New Testament Baptist Church does not only have the opportunity to hear about missions, to hear and to learn about missions, but you have the opportunity to be practicing missions through your local church. I'm excited to see the missions reports, and that's always lifted my heart because in so many churches, missions is something that's kind of going off the scenes. And as I go into churches, we travel quite a bit, and trying to encourage folks to, hey, not only meet your need where you are, but meet a need around the world. Be involved in reaching a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But this morning, as we deal with this idea of missions, I believe there are three basic foundations that we need to have in place. One of the things that we're dealing a lot with at Baptist Missions to Forgotten Peoples, and we talk a lot about, is the idea of relationships. You understand this morning that unless we have a relationship with others, we can't reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It requires getting to know people. And I know you'll see here this morning, you say, well, Lions, I don't like to talk to people. I could go in a room by myself and not come out, and I would be perfectly happy. Well, I don't think God called us to be hermits. I believe God called us to be impacting others for the cause of Christ. And we all have our way of life. We all have our way of doing things. But in our way of life, understand that God wants to use you to reach someone with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because, you know, you might meet another hermit. And they need to hear the gospel too, amen? And so you never know how God's going to use you to reach someone else with the gospel. But I think there's three basic relationships that need to be in place, and these are foundational to us accomplishing our missions program and accomplishing missions for the cause of Christ. So this morning, number one, if you're taking notes, we must consider our relationship with Christ. Everything we have in missions is based on our relationship with Jesus Christ. You say, but Lions, why is that important? Because based on our relationship with Jesus Christ will result in what we want to do for Christ. If my relationship with Christ is not right, I can promise you that none of our other relationships will be right. Our relationship with Christ. We must be in the faith. It's our destination. The destination is determined by our relationship with Christ. If you're this morning and you know Christ is your Savior, there is opportunity for you this morning to have a change of life. There's opportunity for you this morning to have a change of destination, to know without a shadow of a doubt that if you died today, that heaven would be your home. I would encourage you this morning, don't leave this place without knowing that. Amen. That faith, faith determines our destination. You say, but Elias, hold on a minute. We're talking about missions. Why are you talking about salvation? Because I believe that the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What's that gospel? It's the gospel of the salvation grace of Jesus Christ. So salvation has everything to do with missions. It's going to people with the gospel. It's sharing the message with them. It's allowing the Holy Spirit of God to use us as instruments in drawing people into a personal relationship with Christ. This brings me to the question this morning. How about you? What is your relationship with Christ? What are you doing as far as your life with the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know today that heaven is your home? So we have our faith determines, our relationship determines our destination, which is going to heaven, but also it determines our development. As I grow in the Lord, my life, my Christian life grows. As I grow my relationship with Christ, I understand the Word of God. As I grow in my relationship with Christ, I understand what I need to be doing for Him. As I grow in my relationship with Christ, it begins to impact my actions, my thought, my way of conducting myself. Why? Because every time I look into the precious book, into the Word of God, it begins to impact and change and do things in my life that would not impact me unless I spent time with God. Amen. Your most important relationship is your relationship with Christ. Amen. You go through the New Testament, you'll find the same foundational requirement in every step of the Christian life. In every case, you must be a believer. You must know Christ as your Savior, and that begins to grow you. Baptism means nothing if you're not saved. Church membership has no meaning if you know Christ as your Savior. Even the manner of giving becomes empty if you first do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You pick any area of service, and the requirement still remains the same. You must be born again. And that is because being in the faith and that relationship with Christ is foundational to everything in the Christian life, including our missions program. It's hard to love others unless you love the Lord Jesus Christ. It's hard to love somebody and want to participate in their lives if there's no relationship there. But without Christ, can you imagine trying to love somebody that's unlovable? Can you imagine trying to deal with some of the people that we have to deal with, and maybe on your job or in your ministry or whatever you're doing in life? If we didn't know Christ as our Savior, can you imagine the difficulty of dealing with people? We had this one lady in our church in Spain, and bless her heart, she was known to speak her mind. I know nobody up here was it like that, but it's an isolated case. Only I had to deal with it. No, it's not true. But I remembered I had gone to a month of language study. I had spent quite a bit of money to brush up on my Spanish and learn how to write and do all those type of things in Spanish. And it was my time to preach at the end of the month. And so I got up and I had all my sermon done. I had all my accents in the right place. I had all my verb tenses correct. And man, I got up and waxed eloquently, in my opinion. And man, I preached up a storm. Well, after I got done preaching, I was kind of proud of myself. And she made her way to the front. And you know, you just never know what she's going to say. And she came up. She said, "Brother Lyons," said, "Did you go to language study?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I did." She said, "Did you spend a lot of money for that?" I said, "Yes, ma'am, I did." She said, "Didn't help you a bit." That's the only time in my life when I felt like killing a little old lady. I felt like taking my hands away. I was quite upset. I told my wife, "Let's go home." I grabbed her by the hand. We left the church, and I really struggled that day. I was having a hard time loving this lady, but I knew that night I had to go back and face her, which didn't make life any easier. And so I'm thinking, "Lord, you're gonna have to help me tonight." I'm going back, and I'm going to face this lady at church, and I have no clue what she's gonna say. So we get to church that night, walk in the door, and here she comes. I mean, she's making a beeline for me. I'm like, "Lord, you know my heart. I want to strangle her. You know, you got to help me here. And so she comes up and she grabs my hand. She says, oh, Pastor. She said, did you get offended by what I said this morning? And, of course, I was still a little bit sore about it. I said, yes, ma'am, I did. A big tear came down her cheek. And she says, Pastor, I love you. And I'm sorry that I hurt you. You know, it's hard to love people by themselves, but with Christ, you can love people. She became our best friend, and she was the best cook in the church. We got some awesome meals after that. I learned to love her quite a bit. She could do meals that no one else could do. She invited her family and all her kids, and man, we'd go to her house, and God just bonded that. Why? Because our relationship with Christ was right. We can love others when they do us wrong. But it starts with our relationship with Christ, and we develop those relationships. But as we develop those relationships, we begin to be distributed for the cause of Christ. You know, if my relationship with Christ is not right and I'm not growing in the Lord, it's going to be hard for God to use me in the areas that He wants to use me. Many times we complain because no one wants to use me at church or God doesn't seem to want to use me. Well, how's my relationship with Christ? Because that is the basis of all of our service for Him. So our relationship with Christ is foundational if we're going to do anything for Christ in missions. Number two, not only is our relationship with Christ important, but this leads me to the next one. If our relationship with Christ is right, then our relationship with our church should be correct. You say, why do you say that? Because missions is a local church program. God is using the New Testament Baptist Church to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. You are important to the cause of Christ. You are doing what you can do. God is using you where you are in your abilities to be able to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if our relationship with our church is not right, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be fussing and fighting and carry on. And the devil's going to use that to destroy the very entity that he wants to use to get the gospel to a lost and dying world. That's why our relationship in our church is very vital, and it's very fragile. And if we don't take care of it, if we're not careful, that we'll destroy that relationship. And God cannot use us the way he wants to use us. We see in our Word of God here this morning in chapter 8, verse number 1, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. We see the word brethren. That word brethren is referring to the local church body. God is using the churches of Macedonia as an example to the Corinth church. Hey, this is how you need to be working. This is the attitude. This is the way of working together as a group and as a local church. And we see the membership and the example of the saints. We in the book of Acts, we go through and we see they received the word. They accepted Christ. They were baptized. And then what happened? They were added to the church. Why? Because God's purpose and the way God has designed it is to use you as a local church body to get the gospel out to a lost and dying world. You are an important factor to getting the gospel out to this world. He could have chose other ways. He could have chosen the rocks to speak, the fish to talk, and all the rest of it. He didn't choose that. He chose to use the local body to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have the privilege of being a part of that. Not only does God use the church collectively, but He uses you as individual to be a part of that collective group to get the gospel out. The book of Galatians talks about the brethren. Philippians talks about those that were in the church there, the deacons, the bishop, the saints, the servants of Christ, of the Lord Jesus Christ. And all this refers to the body of Christ, us working together to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The New Testament example is simply this. Those who were won by saving faith in Christ were obedient to baptism and became part of a local Bible-preaching church. And God used that church to begin to spread the gospel around the world. So we see membership is very important. You may be coming here. You may be attending. You may say, well, you know, I'm kind of looking things at a distance. I just want to observe. Hey, can I encourage you this morning? Jump in with 2 feet. Get involved. Find something to do. If it's cleaning chairs, I don't know. But do something to get involved, and you'll be happy doing that. That's what you are designed to do, to be part of the body of Christ. I find those who are busy looking are those who are busy criticizing. But those who are busy working don't have time to criticize. They're serving the Lord. So if you don't want to have a critical attitude, get plugged in. Do something. Help Brother McClain. Get involved and do something here to help the church ministry. And you'll be happy because that's what we're designed to do. Church membership. But then we have, once we get that straightened out, we begin with to exercise in the ministry. If you read through the New Testament, you're going to come to one conclusion, and that's that we're a whole lot more concerned to who gets the credit than God is. Yeah. Man, I've been in ministry 33 years, and I've seen A to Z. I mean, there's been things that when I went to Bible college, that was not in the curriculum. I mean, I got to the mission field and started dealing with some things, and I'm thinking, what class was that in? I don't remember this situation in that class. I mean, I'm thinking, God, I need some help. I mean, this ministry thing is a bigger than I am. I don't know how to do all this. But it's not about me, see. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God that gets the glory, not you. Whatever we do for Christ, it's because we do it for His honor and glory. If you look in our text, I mean, I love the way the Lord puts it here. And Paul's writing, and just look at the pronouns here in verse number 2 and 3 and 4. How that in a great trial of affliction and the abundance of whose joy? Their joy. And their deep poverty abounded to the riches of their liberality. Verse number 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. Who is them and they and theirs? It's the local church. It wasn't one individual. They were working together collectively to accomplish the ministry, to do what God wanted to do. As everybody doing what they can do, everyone participating in the capacity that God has placed them and being happy doing it, serving the Lord with happiness. Who does the work of evangelism? The church does. Who does the baptizing? The church does. Who does the teaching and preaching? The church does. Who does the giving? The church does. Who does the missions? The church does. Why? So that none of us can say, hey, look what I did. And look for the congrats on the back. Amen. It's God that gets the glory. And when we have our church membership right, we begin to minister. And it's not about us. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of this because in order to do the work of God, you must be part of the family. They were able to complete His mission. God uses the local church to get the work done. You say, well, Lions, man, we're just up here. What can we do? You can do your part. You can do what God's calling you to. God never expected you to do something that some other church can do. He expected you to do what the New Testament Baptist Church can do and handle. And as you grow, as you mature, as you do what you can do, you don't compare yourself to anybody else. You don't look around and see what someone else is doing. You're responsible to do what God wants you to do, and that's it. And if God's happy with it, you can be happy with it. Amen? We can serve the Lord with joy and peace and gladness, knowing we're fulfilling what God wants us to do. So our relationship with Christ is most important. And that will lead us to our right relationship with our church. Hey, can I help you with something? If our relationship with Christ is wrong, we'll have a wrong relationship with our church. A bad relationship in church is a reflection of a bad relationship with Christ. We have to guard those things. But if our relationship with Christ is correct and our relationship with our church is correct, that leads me to our third point this morning. That's our relationship with our community. You see, when our relationship with Christ is correct and our relationship with the church is right, it's going to automatically spill over into the community, and they're going to look at the New Testament Baptist and say, hey, what are you guys doing? Man, something's going on over there. Man, that's exciting. Man, there are people out doing things. Man, you guys are supporting missions and you're reaching your community. And it's just going to spill out. Why? Because that's what God wants it to do. How does that happen? It starts with a vision. It starts with a willing heart. Verse number 3, we see, for to their power, our bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us as much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we had hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. You see, they realized their relationship with Christ. They realized that they need to work together as a group. But then they realize that's going to affect our relationship with the outside community. And it starts right here in Hamilton, reaches out to Canada and to the regions beyond. But it starts right here. Isn't it true that everything in the Christian life is dependent upon people having a willing heart? A willing heart. It's no difference in our giving. It's no difference in our missions. It's having a willing heart. God, here's my life. Here's my funds. Here's what I have. I give it to you. I have a son that's getting married in July, and we were just up at the college. He graduates in May and gets married in July. And so I had a couple hours to spend with him the other day. We were up there, and I was trying to help him prepare for life. And he's getting married, and sometimes I think he's kind of like me at 21. He has no clue what he's getting into. Amen. And he's going to get married, and he's all about, let's get married. You know, like, yeah, but there's responsibility. What's that? You know, it's like, kind of goes over his head a little bit. So I'm trying to help him with this, you know. And so I'm just telling him, you know, son, you need to be responsible. You need to learn to take care of this young lady. You need to have, he has a willing heart. Dad, I want to do that. I'm willing. I said, yeah, it's more than willing. You got to put some feet to that. You got to prepare, you know. And so understand that we have to be involved in our community. You have a willing heart. But what are we going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? After a willing heart, it comes our involvement. Not only is it a willing heart, but it's an obedient heart. The Bible gives us four levels of giving, and not necessarily talking about giving, but we talk about the idea of what we do for the cause of Christ. If you're not giving your tithe and participating in that area, the Bible says you're a thief and a robber. You're giving below. Our tithe and offerings is what we give to supply for the needs of the church and supply the keep the lights on and all the things you do around here. That's our obligation to give. Then we give offerings to help with projects and things you want to do. Then we give our faith promise giving above that and that all goes to missions and supporting missions. But it comes to saying, not only am I willing, but God, I will. I'll do something about it. I will participate. I will be involved. And that's the determination we have to do every day when we wake up. I'm going to serve the Lord. I'm going to be involved. And as you take that step of I will, you venture out and you will be in the place where God can use you to your full potential. One of the things that I see as I travel, I see a lot of potential, a lot of good people, a lot of people that many times used to be in the ministry but are not in ministry anymore. I see people that have gone to Bible college but have never done anything with their Bible degrees. I see the people that are prepared, man, they've had talents from A to Z. You know, someone, when I go to church, they said, Lions, can you work with kids? I was like, not too good with kids. Can you sing? Like, no, don't sing. Do you do chalk? No, I don't do chalk art. What do you do? I said, all I do is preach. Oh. And you got some missionaries, man, they come and they can play the piano, and they can do this, you can do that. God didn't give me all those talents. I mean, I wish my brother, man, all my brothers, they can play either the guitar or the piano. Man, my brother can play the piano. He makes more keys than the piano. The piano has keys. I mean, just a wonderful. He can play piano. Man, I can't do do re mi fa sol la ti do, and I can't do that right. You know, I suffer with that stuff. God called me to preach. That's what I do. But I'm taking whatever God's given me, and I'll use it for His glory. I might not be the greatest preacher in the world, but I have a willing heart. I can learn. I can do what I can do. But whatever talents God gives you, just surrender that to the Lord and say, God, let me use it for you. And you'll be amazed what God will do with the talents and the gifts that He gives you to help them be an encouragement to others. You venture out and you'll be in the place that God will use you. But until those things are surrendered to the Lord, until those areas of our life are completely opened for God's use, we're not only robbing God of a blessing, we're robbing ourselves of a blessing. Remember when God began to deaden our heart and life about going to the mission field? We had just gotten married, and we knew that eventually we would go to missions. We were surrendered to go, and some things we were working out, and we were praying, God, is it now or is it later? What do you want us to do? And we were living a little mobile home beside a chapel ministry of the Holland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we were sitting there, and we were praying, and man, like clear as day, God showed Himself to us, hey, this is what you need to do. I mean, God answered our prayer. Man, I was excited. God finally had expressed himself to know that, hey, this is the way we need to go. And we went across to the church building. The pastor was there, and I began to share with him, this is what God's doing in our life. And this is what we believe God wants us to do. And he looked across from his desk and looked over at me and my wife, and he said, you know what? He said, nah, I don't think you're going to make it. You might as well quit. Just forget about it. He's failed to share our enthusiasm about what God was doing. Man, we were excited. And my dad had taught me to be respectful to pastors, so I tried to do that. And I responded to him saying, well, pastor, I said, I'm sure glad God called me to go to the mission field, because if you called me, I don't think I'd ever go. God has used this for 33 years in ministry. Am I the best missionary you ever met? No, I'm not. But I've tried in 33 years just to be faithful where God's placed me, to love people, just to have an impact on someone's life. And God has given us some wonderful people. We can go back to Spain, to our church. It's, man, they're thriving on their own, have their national pastor. And we go and we see people that God used us to have an impact on their life. God used us to share the word of God with them. And now their life is changed. Their families are whole. And they are serving God. And they're being faithful. And they're winning people to Christ. Never would I ever imagine that God could use a person like me. But if he can use a person like me, he surely can use a person like you. Don't put limitations on God. All God wants is a willing servant. Maybe this year in your missions month that God will call you to be a missionary. Maybe God will call you to reach a certain people group. Maybe there's some people right here in this community that they're not being reached with the gospel. And you maybe know a language or you know a culture that maybe someone else doesn't know. And God can use you to reach them with the gospel. Don't sell yourself short. All God wants is a surrendered vessel saying, here am I. Use me. Our relationship with Christ has got to be right. That will lead to having a right relationship with our church. That's the right way to do it. But then that will affect our relationship with our community. And God will use you in ways you never imagined just by saying, Lord, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Now, we've covered a lot of territory this morning. I've attempted to lay a foundation that God can use in your life to put you in a position to where God can use you in his service. I understand this morning that God cannot call everybody from the New Testament Baptist Church to go to the mission field. If he did, Pastor McLean would have a heart attack. No, not everybody, please. But maybe there's somebody that God would call from the New Testament Baptist Church to go to the regions beyond. Amen. I thank the Lord for the coats who went to Quebec. A few years ago, I was traveling by myself and had a few days to go. I drove up to Quebec and I walked around the city. I said, God's missionary is here. Coats never knew. It wasn't long. They went. They still don't know. It's the first time I think I ever told anybody. But God sent them to Quebec. What a needy place. And there's places like that all over Canada that need to hear the gospel. There's places like that all over the world that somebody, they just surrender. Say, God, I'll go. I'll take the gospel. I'll be that servant. Say, but Alliance, can you promise it won't be hard? No, I can't promise that. But Alliance, can you promise it'll be easy? No, I can't promise that. But I can promise you this. A life fully surrendered to Christ is a life full of joy and peace in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Would you consider that this morning? How's your relationship with Christ? Is it right? How's your relationship with your church? Is it where it needs to be? Is it affecting your relationship with your community? Do you have a heart to see those around? I can't help but when I drive down the roads, a
come to a place like this and drive down the streets and I see all the people. I wonder how many know Christ as your Savior. My wife and I used to make it a habit of driving down to the center of Madrid. Thousands of people. We'd walk through that mass of humanity. Pray, God, send missionaries. Send somebody. We walk around our little town of Azuquerque-Lanares. God, send missionaries. Folks, I believe the time is short. What we do must do for Christ, we must do now. I believe in the imminent return of Jesus Christ. But until that imminent comes, we need to be busy serving Him. What will the New Testament Baptist Church do for cause of missions? Maybe you can give. Maybe you can pray. Or you can go. What will be your part in reaching a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ? These three foundational relationships, our relationship with Christ, our relationship with our church, our relationship with our community. Let's stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and said, "But Lions, I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven, but boy, I don't want to miss that. Man, I've got troubles and I've got issues in my life, and man, I need some peace." That peace can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. And I don't want to embarrass you this morning, but man, I want to be your friend and encourage you to, and ask you this morning, if you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure if you die today, you go to heaven, would you least just raise your hand so I can pray for you? I won't sing you out, but I want to be your friend and pray for you. I see the hand. Amen. Is anyone else? I'm not sure if I die today, I go to heaven, would you pray for me? Anyone else this morning? Number two, you're here this morning and you know you're saved, you know you're relationship is right. I mean, God is maybe specifically directing you to answer to the call of missions. And you say, "But Lions, I don't understand how it was going to work. I don't know how to do it all, but I want to take that first step and say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Use me to reach a world with the gospel of Jesus Christ." Would it be in that way this morning? God's working in your life. Here am I. Send me. Would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you this morning. Anyone this morning say, "Amen." I see that hand. Anyone else? But Lions, pray for me. I want to surrender my life this morning to do whatever God wants me to do to serve Him. Would you pray for me? Anyone else this morning? Number three, and will be the last question. Maybe you're here this morning. You said, "But Lions, I'm here, but I'm not a member. Man, I'm missing out on something." And this morning, man, I just want to get things right. Make my relationship with my church right so that I can have the right relationship with my community. But Lions, I'm not a member here, but hey, this is where God wants me to be. Would you pray for me this morning? Anyone that way? Anyone that way this morning? I'm going to pray, and I'll ask Brother Tricky to come and close out as he sees fit. But God, work in your heart. I would ask you to do this morning what God's asking of you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this morning. Lord, I pray that something that I said, Lord, would just touch your people this morning. None of us are important in ourselves. No, we're first of all, servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for that one that raised her hand for salvation this morning. Lord, just help them to come this morning. Get that settled. What a tragic it would be for them to sit in the service and go home and go out the same way they came in. Pray that one that raised her hand about surrender this morning, that you would work in that life. May they be willing to come this morning and say, "Here am I, Lord, send me." Blessed in the invitation as Brother Tricky comes. In Jesus' name we pray.